Right, okay. Big Bible out now, that's what I was saying. Good morning, everyone. I may not get through everything this morning, because rather than overload you, I might do a part one and a part two, but we'll just see how we go. Is that okay with everyone? I think before I start, I just want to say a big thank you to the people who work on the desk and the people who sing and the musicians. I know not everyone's here today and raised poorly today. But I just want to thank them publicly because of all the preparation that they do before they come on a Sunday. Because there's a lot of work goes into putting things right and become and things aren't right and you're sorting things out and all working together to try and make it work. And I just want to publicly say a big thank you. Let's give those everyone a clap. Everyone's volunteering, aren't they? Okay, so what I have done this morning, which I'll put on here, I've done two sheets of A4 because it's loads of scriptures today. So you can take away page one and page two, and they're all here, and I've done about 10 sheets. Okay, so you can go home and look at stuff. I was thinking this week, why am I a leader? Why is it so important for me to be a leader in this church? And I wrote this down, and I hope I'm speaking for all of us that lead. As leaders, we lead with anointing and integrity. We do not bring condemnation on people, but bring God's word and truth, and ask God's Holy Spirit to work in all of our lives. Our desire is that you thrive. You know, as leaders, we're still dealing with things. We're still dealing with the old nature. We're still dealing with circumstances, a bit like what Jane said. We all get weeks when we have circumstances where we've never been there before, all of us. It doesn't matter whether you're a leader, whether you attend the church. And it was so good to hear Karen say about reality. And being in church is about being real. And we've been, in Carmel, we've been privileged to be taught a long time that we have to live it. It's not something you put on a Sunday morning. It's not like a coat. You come out Sunday morning and you put your nice person on, and the rest of the week you're horrible. That's not the Christianity or gospel that we believe. But it used to be like that. And it used to be like that here in the 70s and stuff. Everybody put the best Sunday face on. But they weren't as good in the week. And they weren't as nice in the week. And this church has really stood for being real 24/7. And I'm very proud of that. Today I want to talk about how we bring faith and the voice of truth to be heard in an anxious world. I'm constantly asking God how he can break through with his Holy Spirit in this world. You know, it costs God everything to send his son. And there's so many people who don't know God. There's so many people, children now are not taught about God in school anymore. People, you've heard us say this before, they have a faith which is plucked to bits from here, plucked bits from there, plucked bits from there. Everything is kind of what suits someone. Oh, I'll have a bit of that because I like that. And I'll have a bit of that. I'll have that. Oh, I'll have a bit of, it's the universe and all this lot. And there's a lot of that going on. And I'm praying the Holy Spirit breaks through. My daily prayer is Holy Spirit break through into people's lives. And you may want to go home and have a look at this, and it's just a bit of a random thing. It's not in my notes. Sometimes, you know, you get things like Britain's Got Talent, or you've got something like The X Factor or something, and someone will come on and sing a Christian song. Go home and Google it. Go home, type in Christian song, X Factor, or Britain's Got Talent, or The American Got Talent. And occasionally you'll have somebody there who will sing a song that's Christian, and you watch that audience. You watch those people. Their mouths are open wide. There's been a couple of people who've sang on there, and it's anointed. Yeah. It's absolutely anointed. And people have been in the audience, and they've been crying. You know, they've been crying, they've been listening and watching, and they've been crying, and people have got their mouths open wide, and I think they're just not exposed to that. They're just not exposed to it. And I'm praying that more and more people are exposed to that. And God will answer our prayers. I want to speak about how we can bring our faith and the voice of truth to be heard in this anxious world today. We went to conference 3 Saturdays ago, I think, or a fortnight ago, an AOG conference day in Doncaster, and we took all the leaders of the church, and one of the people, Derek Smith, who we've known for a long time, spoke about consistency, calmness, clarity, peace and compassion. And he was speaking to us, and it was about all the things that influence us. So we just put the first slide on. I've recreated this slide. I'm quite chuffed. taxed me a little bit to get this done, but I've done it. So at the top we've got God. The other person in black is a leader. And then all those beautiful people there in different colours are you. And these are all the things that influence you. So you've got 24/7 influences. You've got YouTube, you've got Facebook, you've got Instagram, social media. I don't do TikTok, but apparently that's massive. I don't do Instagram. Snapchat, the news. Who watches the news at 10? Yeah, a few of you. We've always watched the news at 10 in our house, always. Andy's dad always had it on. So it's just something that we always watch the news. But news, the news influences, influences us, and it influences how we feel. Media, God Channel. I'm going to say something to you. Not everything on the God Channel's good. I'll say it again. Not everything on the God Channel's good. The beauty of knowing us, knowing Mark, knowing other speakers, knowing other people who are good, you get to know them, you get to know how they live, you get to know what they say. Some people on the God Channel, you know, you can't verify everything that person's telling you. And some stuff I hear, I can't agree with it. But just when you listen to stuff, just ask God to help you to know what's real and what's not real. You know, we have to be careful what we take in. And there is some rubbish. The other things that are there were economic factors, climate change. Look at what's happening in Spain at the moment. You know, who would have thought that now in this climate that you'd be thinking, I can't go to Spain because of the rain? Internet. Look at all the stuff that's on internet, all the damaging stuff. Our young people have gone next door, but there's so much on the internet that's damaging to our young people. There's good stuff, but there's not good stuff. Influencers. People are paid to influence. They make a living out of it. And as I've already said, there's 24/7 influences. So how do people hear about God? How can they be influenced by God? And the other thing I want to cover today, I want to say that in that slide, I want to say, God is more than enough to speak to people. His son dying on the cross is more than enough. And we in Christ are more than enough. Because you can look at all that and think, how can I compete with that? And I want to tell you, with God's Holy Spirit living in you and having that life change that you've had, you are more than enough. God is more than enough. Jesus is more than enough, because you are the good news. You are the hope. So don't look at that and think, how on earth could I ever say anything that would not have an impact as much as that? And I want to tell you that you can. I want to tell you that you can, because you've got the Holy Spirit. Anxiety in people in church and outside is everywhere. People are anxious. Our children are anxious. People in here are anxious. We are all affected and influenced by everything on this slide. But this morning I want to discuss three things. And I've been thinking about this and I loved it. When Derek spoke, he did it so... he just explained it so well. And these are thoughts that I've had. What do I need? What do we need in order to combat all of that? Have you put slide two on, please? So the things that we can have in the Holy Spirit, in God, in this word, is consistency, calmness, clarity, peace and compassion. Okay? The world is not calm. It's not consistent. But we are. We are. We can walk with God and be consistent. We can. I'm not saying you get it right all the time. That's not what I'm saying. But what Karen said was really important. I keep talking to God about stuff as I'm walking. I keep talking to God and He is helping me. So He enables you to be consistent. And we do have times in our lives when we're like that, and when we're like that, and when we're like that. I understand that. But with God, we have the Holy Spirit, which Jesus left us with. We know that He went and left us. He said, I go so the Holy Spirit can come. The helper, the advocate, the voice of truth. You see, the stuff here on the previous slide, some of that's lies. And as Christians, pray for wisdom and discernment. Ask God what is right and what's not right. Quite often, something will happen and straight away I know it's wrong. I know it's wrong because I'm walking with God. My spirit does not agree with what is being presented in front of me. And we have to live like that. Discernment. God, give me discernment today. When you get up, give me discernment today, Lord. Give me wisdom today, Lord. It says, ask for wisdom and you will have it. So once you've prayed that prayer, walk like you've got it. I've got it today, God. I've got it. Consistency and calmness. When people meet you, we all give off something when we meet someone. So you can meet someone and they're not calm. They're not nice. We do meet people who are not very nice. And I tell you what, when you do, I don't know about you, but I want to go, like that. Because you can feel it. How they speak to you. What the body language is like. And you think, whoa, you're not a very nice person. And there are people who we deal with who are like that. And on slide three, helper, this is the Holy Spirit. We've covered this before, I know we have, but I feel I needed to cover it again. Helper, advocate, speaks on our behalf. Voice of truth, with power, with this word of God. I'm going to keep picking this up. With this word of God. It can help us to be the voice of consistency and calmness, and it works. When people sometimes used to meet me, and used to meet all different people in my life, in my work life and different things, I used to meet all sorts of people. I used to meet people who were very senior, I used to meet people who were volunteers, I used to just meet all walks of life. And it was said quite often, you're just a really calm person. And I used to think, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. I'm calm because I've got God and I've got the Holy Spirit. I'm not worked up about things. I'm walking. Now, in the natural, you don't know this, but 100%, if I'd not had God in my life, I would not be like the person I am today. I'd be very fiery, very independent, lose my temper. I have a temper. I would be very fiery. I'm looking over at my husband, he's smiling. But I'm not that person because the Holy Spirit has come into my life and he's altered that within me and shaped that within me. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 4. I'm going to read quite a few scriptures now. I'm going to read them out, but you'll get what I'm saying here. If a ruler's anger rises against you, do not leave your post. Calmness can lay great offences to rest. Proverbs 25 verse 15. Through patience a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. Proverbs 29 verse 11. Fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. Many years ago, Andy and I used to run youth camps, and there was about eight of us. We all used to come from all over the country, and we used to give out a week of our lives, and we would put a programme together. One was a headmaster, and he became a cook for a week. We had a pastor from Stafford. There was Andy and I that run all sorts of things and programmes. We supported youth leaders, we supported young people, we had a team who cooked, and we used to have 180 kids for the week, 180 children for the week, and we put on a programme from 7 o'clock in the morning till like 10:30 at night, every day for 5 days. It was fantastic, and we saw God move fantastically in our young people across the country. God did amazing, amazing stuff. But this particular day, there was me and Dave Lawrence, Andy and Ruth Berry, and we were sat in the sort of organisational office, and this woman came in, and she came in, and she opened the door, and she went, "I'm sick of your kids. I'm sick of your kids. They've walked all over the garden. They've trashed my garden. They've done this. They've done that. They've done the other. You're a Christian camp. It's terrible. It's really terrible. I'm not happy." And I went to her. Oh, I said, "Hello." I said, "I'm Sue." I said, "What's your name?" And she gave me a name. And I said, "And what have the young people done?" And she said, "They've wrecked the garden." I said, "Right." I said, "Well, come and have a look at it." I said, "And see what we can do to put it right." And then I said to her, "I'm really sorry that these young people have done that." I said, "We're meeting them at tea time, and we'll speak to them all in the hall and say to them, please don't go near this garden, and we'll do something where they can't walk on it." "Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. I love the fact that your young people are here. I love the fact that they're here. I love the fact that they're learning." She was a teacher, and it was a private school. She said, "I love the fact that they're learning." "Yeah," I said, "they are, but they've got to act properly when they're here and not upset you." And she went, "Oh, thank you so much." And then I said, "And if you have any other problems, will you come back to this office and talk to us, and we'll get it sorted?" And she shook my hand and she said, "Thank you so much. I'm really glad I've met you today." But literally, honestly, no word of a lie, she walked in like, bam. She went out. And that was God. That was the calmness. That was just talking to someone and calming them down. Your demeanour can be calm. Let's just play that Abigail in the Bible and Nabal and 1 Samuel 25. Just watch this slide. Let's hope it plays.
"Nabal had a large flock of sheep and goats, and a wife named Abigail. Unlike Nabal, Abigail was known for being sweet. Not far from where Nabal and Abigail lived, King David and his men were camping. David needed some supplies, so he gathered some of his men to send to Nabal's house. He told them to greet Nabal with kind words, and Nabal should return their kindness. So the men went to Nabal, greeted him with nice words, shouted insults at them and told them to leave. The men returned to David and told him the things that Nabal had said. David was furious. He told his men to grab their swords so they could get even with Nabal. Meanwhile, back at Nabal's farm, Abigail heard how poorly Nabal treated David's men.
Oh, no!
She knew her husband's bad attitude could mean trouble for them, so she gathered food and supplies and loaded them up on donkeys. David and his men stormed through the desert, ready to get revenge on Nabal. Suddenly, they saw someone approaching. It was Abigail. Abigail bowed down to King David and begged him not to hurt Nabal. She asked David to stop and think before he acted out of his anger. David took a deep breath and thanked God for sending Abigail to calm him down. David accepted Abigail's gift of supplies and went home instead of doing something he might regret later on. Because Abigail asked him to think about forgiveness, David chose peace instead of anger.
Andrew enjoyed that video then, didn't you, Andrew? Andrew at the back. Okay, two things from the story. Abigail loved her husband, was wise, and demonstrated calmness under every very difficult circumstances. There was actually 400 soldiers were going to get Nabal. That's what the Bible says. And her actions prevented David from doing something he would regret later. Okay, I want to just read out now what was written in Isaiah about our Lord. Here, this is Isaiah 42. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him. He will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged until he establishes justice on the earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. This is what God, the Lord, says, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to his people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you. I will make you to be a covenant for the people, a light for the Gentiles, a light for people in this world, to open eyes that are blind, for those people that don't see God, to free captives from prison, the people who need freeing from whatever is entangling them, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. With God, we can help people who are sat in darkness. Consistent. Wow, it's hard to keep going sometimes with all these influences. It can be tiring. But we're taught in Isaiah 40, verse 31, don't be weary in well-doing. For those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, will gain new strength and renew their power. They will lift up their wings and rise up close to God, like eagles rising towards the sun. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not grow tired. Renew your strength. Spend time with God. Sit under his wing. When Jesus met the Samaritan woman in John 4, he said to her, come to the well, you'll never be thirsty again. People that are not Christians or don't know God or are searching, come to the well. That's what we can say to people. Come to someone where you'll never be thirsty ever again. The vine. I was thinking a lot about the vine this week, John 15. You know, when I'm out sort of cutting and sort of in my garden, you know, the vine is continually cut back and cut back, and then a new shoot comes and cut back and cut back. And I love John 15, and I've done studies on John 15 and the vine. The natural vine is, keeps being intertwined and threaded through, continually being snipped and trained. The Holy Spirit, the sap flows. Holy Spirit continually shaping us. So we're not like the nature that we were born with, that we're not like the nature that we were given. So I'm just going to move on a minute for, and move into clarity. Christians, we can have great clarity. I want you to expect, I expect this, that when I'm looking at things and when I'm reading things, when I'm listening to things, I ask God for clarity and I expect that I clearly understand what's going on. I expect to clearly understand what's going on. If you struggle with clarity, ask God to help you see things clearly. Our spirit, our heart and mind are totally surrendered to Him, and that allows us to see clearer. It helps us see what the priorities are. You see, if you look sometimes at that slide, I don't know about you, but when I saw that slide, I just thought, you can just completely want to give up. You could just completely be overwhelmed. But it's a bit like, aren't we decluttering our house? And we keep stuff handy now, and we have done, and we have to keep decluttering because we keep stuff and we're on our next big declutter. And every now and again I think, oh, I can't do this. I want to give up. I want to give up. I don't want to go through all these cards that I've kept. Why have I kept all these cards? They're going to Jane shortly, aren't they, Jane? But, you know, you can just want to give up because you think, oh. And sometimes I look at my 100-foot garden and I think, oh, sometimes I just want to give up. You know, it's such a big thing. But then, you know, break it down into bite-sized chunks. Ask God for clarity. What is the priority? You know, in my week when I'm like coming into Monday tomorrow, I have my grandson, but the rest of the week I'll be praying tomorrow, Lord, what should I be doing the rest of the week? Because I'm not working now, but I'm not going to be idle. How can I best use this time in the rest of the week, Lord? What is a priority for you? What do you want me to be doing this week? It's God's time. Pray for the gifts of the Spirit, for discernment, and ask for wisdom all the time. God has promised to give it us. It's a given. I'm going to say that again. God has promised to give it us. It's a given. So walk like you've got it, because you have when you ask for it. You shall be my witnesses, it says. And I started to think about that this week. What does that mean, you shall be my witnesses? I watch a lot of crime TV and I watch documentaries and I like watching some of the forensic stuff. I love things that make me think. I love it. And true documentaries. And in it, if they've ever got a witness, they're asked what, who, when, where and how. And that's our role. People will wonder how you cope with life. People will wonder, how does it work? People will say, when did you become a Christian? People say, why did you become a Christian? People will say, what are you doing this weekend? I'm going to church. You go to church? Yeah. I'm part of a really good church family. We don't need to argue about this. I don't need to argue about this. All I need to do is say what it does. I don't need to argue. I don't need to be aggressive. I don't need to be dogmatic. I don't need to be pushy. I just need to speak the words that are in here. And the Holy Spirit will do the rest. And I'm not talking compromise. I'm not talking watering things down. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about what's in here works. So clarity is really important. Not enforcing my beliefs on someone else. But when somebody's with me and asking me, I can say it works. I can say talking to God works. I can say prayer works. This is Habakkuk 2, verse 2. Write my answer plainly on your tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. You can carry the correct message to others. You can carry that message. I'm going to finish here with one video and then I'll talk again about... I'm going to finish on this point now. Sometimes as church, not here, Carmel, not just here, wider church, you know, we've had some news this week, haven't we, where the church is falling out. We've had some news this week where some of the safeguarding in the Church of England has failed. We've had some news this week where someone's resigned. And, you know, I feel for him. I really feel for him. But I also feel for below him, all the people who are falling out now. We will see with the Church of England a lot of falling out. And I don't know about you, but one of the hardest things that people who don't go to church find is that when people in church fall out, they say, why would I want to be part of that? We need to pray for the Church of England in this void, in this gap at the moment. We need to pray. And there'll be a lot of people vying for positions. You will see the real people who are vying for positions. People will listen to your changed life. They will. You know, how could they not be affected, Vivian, by your stories about how God's undertaken for you with cancer? And there'll be people who have cancer and people who've had cancer who will identify with that. If you're struggling at any point, talk to us and we will support you on your walk because that's our heart. I just want to show you this last video because it demonstrates something and it was sent to me about a week ago. So I'm just going to just turn the lights down a little bit because it's quite a dark video. But it just demonstrated to me our Father God and how I am holding his hand. Just see if you can play that, Jed, if it'll play. Is it struggling? Right, well, what we'll do is it doesn't matter because when I do part two, I'll play that first. So you'll have to wait for the next chapter, won't you? Okay, so have a good week, everyone. There's some scriptures there, and I'll do part two in a few weeks. Thank you.